Hello and welcome to Conversations from the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this podcast, I spoke to Nicola, an adoptive mum to three children. She shares her story of adopting with her husband after years of infertility. They adopted twice and then were asked to adopt through the foster to adopt model. Nicola is honest in relation to the challenges they've faced as well as the joy as adoptive parents. As always, if you've experience of adoption, fostering or special guardianship from any perspective and would like to share that on the podcast, please get in touch through the Facebook page or Twitter page, or you can email us at andfpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm Nicola, I'm 40 and I'm married to Jonathan, who's 38, and together we've adopted three children. Our journey to adoption really started in 2013. Prior to that, we decided we wanted to have a family quite early on in our life, really. We got married young. We met young. We had a mortgage by we were 21. So back in 2003, we decided to have a baby because that's what you did next. And that didn't happen for us. Roll forward quite a bit to 2010. And we reached sort of the end of that road, really, when the doctors just said, it's just not going to happen for you. You just need to concentrate on a different area, really. So we spent a couple of years trying to deal with that and move on, really. And I think my husband found it easier to move on than I did. I think he just was quite happy that we had each other and we had a good life. We had nice holidays, we had our own house and decent jobs, and we moved on. But I really, really struggled. I wanted to be a mum more than I wanted to be pregnant. And we did dice around the thoughts of adoption quite often. And every now and then I would look on the local authorities website and have a little look and see what they were saying about adoption, and every now and then I would request an information pack and I'd read it, and my husband would be like, no, they don't want people like us, you know, they're looking for professionals and they're looking for people who are older and we couldn't adopt, and anyway, you know, you can't adopt babies, that doesn't happen anymore because people don't give babies up for adoption, it's not like it used to be. And I think we were quite naive to what it actually was all about. And 2013, I requested an information pack again, and lo and behold, my phone rang, and it was a social worker from the local authority, and she said, we've noticed you request information quite a lot, but you've never actually taken the next step. And I was like, oh, well, if I'm being honest, we're a bit frightened and I'm trying to encourage my husband into this, but I don't think he's really feeling it. And she said, how about we come out and see you 5 o'clock? No messing. Let's just come out tonight and talk to you. And so cue a mad frantic cleaning of the house and all the panics. And they came out to see us and talked to us about a lot of things, a lot of the preconceptions we had about what they were looking for, and they reassured us that actually they just wanted normal people who could give a child a happy home, who could understand their traumas that they may have experienced, and who could offer them stability and to give them everything that they need, really, in terms of love and happiness. And so we filled in the registration of interest, and that was it. The ball was rolling. We got approved to adopt in 2014 after we spent 9 months for our first process, which was really actually quite enjoyable. We had a really, really good social worker. She was just lovely. We didn't think anything of her coming round other than it was just like a friend calling for a cup of tea, and she saw us at our best and our worst and our most vulnerable with the assessment process, so in depth but quite cathartic. You get to have that sort of free counselling session that you didn't really realise that you needed. And I think we learned a lot about each other. There was a lot of things that were said in those sessions that I think we'd never really said to each other about how we really felt about things. And we understood a lot more about each other, and it really brought us closer together. And I felt that we were doing something. All of a sudden, this dream of having a family seemed achievable. Whereas for 10 years before that, it hadn't been achievable. I felt like we were always swimming against the tide. And then all of a sudden, the tide changed and it was actually in our favour. So we got approved in July 2014. And then, yeah, then we had a big wait. We had a big wait looking for a child. We were quite open to what kind of child we would want. I wanted a little girl, I'll be honest. I wanted a little girl. It's always been my dream to have a little girl. My husband was just like, you know, just as long as we can give them a good life, it doesn't matter. We were approached about our little girl, our eldest daughter, in the September. And our social worker came to us and said, there's this little girl, and I can't quite shake the feeling that you'd be great for her, but I don't know if she'd be the right one for you. And we couldn't really understand what she meant. And she said, you know, she's a bit older than what I saw you with. We saw you with the tiniest baby we could sort of do. And eventually it got to Christmas time. And we celebrated the new year and we kept thinking, oh, you know, this has got to be it. This has got to be our year. This has got to be the year of us becoming a family. And on January the 2nd, she texted us and said, I'm in the area. Are you around if I pop in? And so the social worker called and she said, I just can't shake this feeling about this little girl. When she'd mentioned it to start with, she hadn't a placement order in place, so she wasn't actually available for adoption at that time. But in the meantime, she'd been out to visit this little girl and she'd said, I feel like there's a really good match here, and I want you to make the decision for yourself. Read the CPR and see what you think. So we did, but at that point we had read a few CPRs and never really felt a connection to any of these children. And so she left us with this CPR and off she went. And I don't even think she'll have made it home. And we were on the phone to her saying, absolutely, this is the one. And the ball then started rolling for matching, to get the matching process underway. So in March 2015, we went to meet our little girl for the first time. She lived less than a mile away from us with foster carers. And it turned out that there was another little girl that they looked after who actually lived next door to us. And it was not a fostering arrangement. They just knew the family who lived next door. And it turned out that all this time, this little girl had been pulling up outside our house once a week to pick up this little girl next door. And we'd been absolutely oblivious to her existence. So we did a week of introductions with her, with her foster carers, and we brought her home. And then life really began. So she came to us, she was 15 months old, she was perfectly healthy, perfectly happy, and I think we were in such a state of elation that we had this little human living with us, but also a little state of panic of, oh my goodness, what do we do now? We've got a home. And we sort of fumbled along for the first few months, really, keeping her alive, fed, clothed, watered, and everything in between, lots of kisses and cuddles, but also in a little bit of a state of panic about, oh my goodness, life has just massively changed. I think one of the things we found was we'd spent so long wanting to be parents. At that point, it had been 13 years, that actually the reality was a bit of a shocker. You know, we'd live quite, quite a selfish lifestyle. We went out all the time. We used to eat out in restaurants every week. We were going on nice holidays. And then all of a sudden you have this little person and you can't even nip to the supermarket because life's changed so much. But we were loving it. We absolutely loved it. And then we had to move house because we needed more space. We quite quickly realised that the amount of stuff a child has is off the grid. So we moved house. And I think one of the things we hadn't really factored in was about adopting a child who's quite young is actually how much trauma and the fact that she'd been in foster care from birth, about how much that actually really had affected her. We'd read all the books, we'd done all the research, but reality and seeing it for yourself was much harder. We moved house and it took us weeks for her to settle. She used to cry at the front door to go home. She yeah, she struggled. And I think we were still in such a state of happiness that we were finally parents that I think we were quite guilty of not realizing actually how sad this little girl actually was. And I still now struggle to look back at pictures of her very early days with us because she just looks so lost and so sad. So I think that was something we really, I feel quite guilty about all the time. But I mean, she's you know, perfectly happy little girl. She's well-rounded. She's smart and funny and clever and everything in between. But yeah, we definitely didn't factor in how much that big change would affect her. And I know that a lot of adopters do factor that in. And I think we'd spent so long wanting to be parents that we were just in such a happy frame of mind that we forgot about her for a little moment in all of that. But we're much more aware of it now. And so life was quite happy, all bumbling along nicely. We started going on nice family holidays. We settled into being a family of three really well. Just the best thing that ever happened to us, changed our world completely. And then in 2019, we decided we would adopt again, which we'd always said we would adopt again, and then kind of just, well, you know, not at the moment because we're gonna go here and we'll think about it after that, and oh well, we'll have this year's summer holiday and then we'll think about it after that. And eventually our social worker, who we hadn't seen for quite a few years at that point, she messaged us one day asking a random question, and then rounded it off with a, and why haven't we seen you back? Why haven't we seen you back adopting again? We didn't really have an answer as to why we hadn't been back. Because our little girl regularly used to say to us she would love to have a brother or a sister. And so we decided to start the ball rolling again. So we did have to start the process from scratch because at that point, originally we'd adopted through our local authority. By the time we came to adopt the second time, they'd merged into a consortium as a regional adoption agency. So we had to start from scratch, basically. But we had the same social worker as first time around. So everything was a really easy process. Again, the assessment process, talking to friends and all the things they have to do. We had no problem with any of that. We didn't have any skeletons in the closet that could poke around the house and dig in our personal lives, nothing to hide. And we got approved in September 2019. And then last year, we welcomed home another little girl, 10-month-old little girl, who was right in the peak of lockdown. It was harder, much harder that time around, frustrating almost, that we knew where she was. We did matching panel. We got approved at the matching panel, and then we couldn't get to her. We couldn't go to her because at that point all introductions and everything were off the cards. So it was, it was frustrating. And I just kept feeling like every day was a day too long. Every day that she was in foster care was a day too long. But eventually we got to each other and we had very intense introduction process, only 4 days, which I think worried me a little bit because I kept thinking back to the first time round when we'd done it, that we'd just gone into it all happy and feeling elated with everything, but actually it did affect our daughter. So the second time round I was much more aware of tuning into this little girl and was she okay, but she really did cope with it so well, and we brought her home and we were basically locked in the house together for the next however many months because of COVID and everything, which actually was a bit of a bonus, really. As much as the pandemic's been a nightmare for everybody, it was the benefits did outweigh everything for us because we had our eldest daughter at home because school was closed. It gave the two girls such a lovely chance to bond. I was quite cautious about if we brought home a second child, how it would affect our eldest daughter. Was she going to feel pushed out? She'd had, you know, 5 years of being the absolute centre of our universe, and all of a sudden she had to share us. But yeah, it went really well. We got her home and the obligatory social worker visits commenced on day five of having our second daughter home, we had our first social worker visit, and the social worker just happened to accidentally mention that birth mum was pregnant and that it would probably be most likely we were about to be approached officially to ask if we would like to consider a third child, which absolutely blew our mind because we were still in a bit of a state of shock, I suppose, having brought home this little girl, as much as we were absolutely capable of looking after her and everything was fine. You do have those, it's a massive life-changing thing and it is hard for them first few weeks until you sort of find your feet with things. So the thought of another one just blew my mind a little bit. And so sure enough, we were officially approached and asked about whether we would like to be considered for a newborn baby on a foster to adopt basis. We chatted about it. Lots of pros and cons to it, but I think what our final decision came around from was this baby's going to go into care regardless if we take him. We found out it was a boy, and the court process is supposed to be around about the 6 month mark. This baby's going to go into care for around 6 months until a decision is officially made about his future. Why shouldn't we give him those first 6 months of his life with us, with this full sibling, with his sister, who, if the worst, well, not the worst, that's not the right, if he did go back to be with his birth family or whatever decision was made, he'll have always had those 6 months with his sister, regardless. So when we'd had our middle daughter home, about 18, 19 weeks, we got a phone call to say that the baby had been born and would we like to go to the hospital to collect him. So off I went on my own because still it was lockdown and it was just one person only to the hospital. So off I went and I spent the next 24 hours with him in hospital and brought him home, which was the weirdest and surrealest moment of my life. I think that I'd spent all them years in and out of hospitals and never for once believing I'd be bringing home this tiny little 7 pound little boy in his car seat, carrying him out the hospital, thinking, oh my goodness, like, this is crazy. And also I didn't anticipate how different it would be having a newborn to having adopted a child who's already got a little bit of personality in their own ways about things. And the fact a newborn's so helpless and completely depended on us for absolutely everything made it so much easier to just fall absolutely head over heels in love with him from the moment I sort of set my eyes upon him. And then the reality that actually he may not stay with us, really, I really struggled with. So when he was only a few days old, we then had to start the contact sessions with his birth mum. And it was just so different for us. You know, having adopted twice, we felt like we completely knew what we were doing. We were parents of two children. We knew what we were doing. We knew the whole adoption process inside out. But becoming foster carers to this little baby was completely different. All of a sudden, we weren't to call ourselves mum and dad. Our eldest daughter wasn't to refer to herself as a sister, that he wasn't her brother. And those conversations with her were really, really difficult at the start. She's quite an anxious little kid anyway. And having to explain to her that this, she did know from the start that what we'd said to her was we were going to get this little baby and we were going to look after him for 6 months, like her foster carers did for her when she was a baby. And then the judge was going to make a decision. And if he decided that this baby could be adopted, then we would like to say we would adopt him. So she was up to speed with what was happening, but reality was just much different. She was constantly asking us, has 6 months passed yet, mum? Has it been 6 months yet? And she was the same as us. She fell head over heels in love with him. She's really hands-on with him. She wanted to do tummy time with him and can I change his nappy? Can I pick him up? She just was just so in love with him. And our middle daughter was only 15 months old. So she looked at him as a bit just like, what on earth is going on? Who is this child? And I was a bit anxious about her having a little nose pushed out a bit because she was still only very new to us as well. I didn't want her missing out on precious time, bonding time with us. So it was quite difficult. And then at that point, our eldest was back at school. But then when the baby was only 3 weeks old, we went back into lockdown and schools closed again. So we were then at home with a three-week-old baby, a toddler, a seven-year-old who was being homeschooled, trying to do contact three times a week on a three-hour round trip every time, social workers in and out, a global pandemic. So looking back, I think, oh my goodness, was that our life? That's crazy. But we got through it. But I did completely not anticipate how hard the foster to adopt would be. The constant worry about him being returned, and the feelings that go with that, feeling quite mad at myself sometimes for being selfish, that I was being honest, hoping that he would stay with us, but deep down knowing that if it was deemed in his best interest to be returned to his birth family, that I would have to respect that. But also thinking, how would I ever deal with that? If that happens, how on earth am I going to cope with this little boy going away from me? I found it quite frustrating seeing the other side of social services. The side we knew was always very positive for us. It was people working on our behalf to try and achieve our goal as much as we were wanting to adopt. They wanted to us adopt. They were completely on our side. They understood us. Whereas what I found with the foster to adopt, it completely wasn't like that. I found that the social workers were very... being honest, I sometimes felt like they didn't really have the baby's best interests at heart, but perhaps my judgment was clouded because I probably had my own best interests at heart, to be honest. But we did get a guardian of the court appointed, and everything did eventually turn out the way we hoped it would, and this little boy has completely changed our world. We feel so complete and so lucky. We do feel lucky to have him. We feel lucky that he's getting this opportunity to grow up with his full sibling, that they're always going to have each other. And no child's ever lucky to be adopted. Absolutely not. But this is, you know, it was deemed that it wasn't suitable for him to be raised by his birth family. So this is the next best thing that could happen for him. And the difference in him already, I can see that how much more settled he is compared to the girls. Well, I mean, we didn't know our oldest at this age, but now he's a bit older. How much more settled he is, and how he doesn't have those little underlying anxieties about his day-to-day life to be honest, both girls have had. He's got complete reassurance that if I walk out the room, he knows I'm going to come back. He knows where his next meal's coming from. He's completely happy with everything. And the girls didn't really have that trust in me to start with, that, you know, you have to win the trust from these little people that have had such a bad start in life. I mean, both of our girls were in foster care from birth, so they never actually knew anything other than love from the moment they were born, but still those traumas do affect them, as we all know. So here we are, living the dream with two girls and a little boy. Holidays have become a whole lot more expensive and the food shopping's off the grid.
I can imagine. Can I ask, did you get the opportunity to meet the children's biological parents?
So with our eldest daughter, we were approached and asked if we would be interested to meet her, and we absolutely would have done. And it was all scheduled, but unfortunately she wasn't able to follow through with it, which we completely understood. I think we have a very good relationship with her. Our letterbox contact relationship is really, really good with her. We write to her twice a year. She writes back, which isn't always that common in the world of adoption, unfortunately. With the middle one and the youngest, we've not been lucky enough that we've been able to meet her. We did ask about it, but the social workers just didn't feel it was a good idea at this time. But we've left it with them and said we'd be open to it at any point in the future. And unfortunately, she's not engaging in letterbox contact either. I did actually see her but she didn't know who I was. I have seen her, but she didn't know me. When I took the baby for his final contact, she walked past me, and I just, yeah, it's really sad. She's just not in a position to be able to put herself out there to meet us at the moment. But we're hoping in the future that that's something that, that could happen. I mean, it is a little bit of a personal worry that we have such a great letterbox relationship for our eldest, and we have absolutely nothing for the other two. And I'm hoping that as time goes on and as she gets a little bit older herself, she might see how important it is, because I mean, she hasn't actually collected our letters. So I'm hoping there'll be a point where she does collect them, and hopefully something I've said in those could give her the little sort of nudge that she needs to maybe write back. I am hopeful that will happen, but we'll have to wait and see what happens there, really, I suppose.
And Nicola, you've given a great account, and you've sort of laid out some of the huge complexities around sort of the foster to adopt, and as well as, you know, adopting even really young children. There's nothing is to be taken for granted. So thank you so much for your time, and I really appreciate you sharing your story with us, and we wish you well with your future.
Thank you.